Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. Mike Trout, not a star. I think that's fair to say he's not a star. He's a star player. I don't think he's a star. I think, you know, Mike Trout could walk down the street and be able to go places he wants to go, maybe outside of the market he's in, or big-time baseball market. And that's, I guess, an issue for baseball. I mean, we're always talking about who the face of baseball is going to be, right? Right now, it's probably Bryce Harper. But Mike Trout is a much better player than Bryce Harper. You know, Manny Machado, as of this moment, is a better player than Bryce Harper. But Mike Trout is the guy who, you know, if you hear some baseball numbers guys tell it, could be in contention for best player of all time by the time his career is done. Like, not just, like, really good player, but, like, historically great, unbelievably good player. And he's not a star. So Rob Manfred, the commissioner of the league this week, talked about how to make him a star and sort of put some of it on Trout, saying they can't promote him if he doesn't want to promote himself, and made it about Mike Trout. Now, some of that's, I think, frustration coming through. Some of it, you wonder if the question is even answerable. Is it something that can be done? Because we've been asking this question now for a few years, and it might just be that you know, baseball fans and people who love baseball are going to follow baseball, but grabbing everybody else, grabbing the young demo, I maybe it's just not going to happen. But that doesn't mean you don't try, of course, right? And Mike Trout, you know, his play is star level. He's done nothing to portray himself in a negative light, so you don't have to worry about that. He's just not particularly charismatic. And that's in stark contrast to a lot of, let's say, the NBA guys you see, who have a bunch of stars in that league, like a lot. You know, DeMar DeRozan, for instance, I would say is just as big a star right now as Mike Trout is. They're probably right on the same tier. And DeMar DeRozan is like one of the 20 or so best players in the NBA, 25 best players in the NBA. Mike Trout's the best player in baseball. All the other guys we talked about, I think, are clearly more recognizable than Mike Trout. So is it his lack of charisma that does it? He's not in commercials. He's not, you know, selling himself on the field by bringing his personality to the field, because sports are an entertainment product. I mean, at their base, that's what they are. It's entertainment. You know, entertainment through competition, of course. And we know how baseball is, where people lose their minds if somebody looks at their home run for a second, and somehow the appropriate response is to hurl a hard object at them at 90 miles an hour. That's just insanity. But beyond that, is it fair to put it all on Trout? Well, I mean, look, could he do more? I'm sure he could. I don't really love airing him out publicly like Manfred did. I think it makes him look worse. It only emphasizes the fact that he's not a huge breakout star, when you could say we've got great players like Mike Trout. People need to pay more attention. And if you wanted him to do more, you could handle that privately. But really, if I'm trying to make a baseball star, it may not work out, as I just said. But there's one way to do it. the best thing to do. I know what my plan A would be. And Major League Baseball does not do that plan A. Let people see what he does. Let people watch Mike Trout at his best. That would be my plan A. Because nobody can argue Mike Trout isn't a great baseball player. How about you let people see what he does on the baseball field? Major League Baseball does not allow their highlights to be shared. And that is cutting off your nose to spite your face. It makes no sense. I understand they want people to come to them for their product. And they do a great job with their technology and their product. But I got news for them. They are going to get those people anyway. The people who are coming to see them are coming to see them because they're baseball fans. You can rely on baseball fans. They watch every game. They show up to games. They drive the revenue of a sport that is losing the casual fan and the younger fan. But it has its loyal fans, and there's a lot of them. Baseball's still popular. I mean, we talk about it losing popularity doesn't mean it's not still popular. And we've seen with the right storyline, like the Cubs, where it can still, bring in that mass audience. But I think it's just so short-sighted not to allow that stuff to be shared because people don't want to go out of their way to find something. How many people click off a video if an ad plays before it shows? How many people won't watch something if it's more than a few seconds long? How many people, won't sit through a commercial or would change something? Or, attention spans are shorter and shorter. People are lazier and lazier. People don't want to. How many things do you go through online now and the content is embedded in the actual post because they know people aren't actually going to click the link to go read it or see it? So if you're baseball and Mike Trout does something amazing, that has to be in people's faces. The NBA puts it right in your face. You can't miss it. Somebody does something great. They understand that that's advertising for them. I think the way Adam Silver put it is, people get the appetizer, they're still going to come for the meal. So the people who see the NBA highlight aren't online are not then going to be averse to going to track down the NBA product. They're more likely to find the NBA product because they're like, that was cool. I liked what I saw. That, wow, that was amazing. I would like to see more of that, please. And now baseball and basketball are not the same, so it might not work to the same level for baseball, but it sure would work a lot better than not doing it at all. If on your timeline you saw somebody hit a 500-foot home run, or on your timeline you saw someone scale the wall, Mike Trout scale the wall to take away a home run. Wow, that was cool. Maybe I want to see more of that. Oh, that's what everybody's talking about with Mike Trout. Because I bet a lot of people have never even seen Mike Trout play. I'm not even, I'm only half joking. So for all the criticism of Trout himself, and I'm sure maybe, it's not his requirement to do more, but he could possibly do more. The best thing that baseball could possibly do to promote their players and to create stars is to let people see them. Let people watch them do what they do best. Let people watch what they do best. And baseball doesn't let you do it. So I can't really accept criticism from Rob Manfred on this if he is going to continue the policy that restricts his league's most exciting content from reaching the most eyeballs possible. And that's what baseball does right now. I don't like to think in a short-sighted fashion. It doesn't make any sense. I used to work in a restaurant, and they were so strict about, pouring controls and not giving anybody anything extra, like a dessert or, you know, hooking them up with their drink or whatnot because of the money factor. Like, you know, you save the money, save the pennies. And I would think to myself, don't you want the people to come back to your restaurant? Right? Don't you want the people to go, oh, I like that place. I like the way I was served there. I'm going to come back. And to me, that's worth a lot more than the little bit you save for not giving somebody dessert or not giving somebody extra on their drink or whatnot. And same thing goes for what baseball is trying to do. They want all the revenue. They want all the clicks to come to them for their product. Those people are coming to you. They're your fans. You need to cultivate new fans. And those new fans are not going to seek that out. That's too much work. Put it in their face so that they want more. So the first thing I would do if I was trying to make Mike Trout a star is I would share his highlights along with every other player in baseball who is playing really well. I just looked up Mike Trout's stats for this year, by the way. Dude is having an amazing season, and you wouldn't even know it. You wouldn't even know it. 454 on base, 606 slugging, 25 home runs, 50 RBIs, 310 batting average, playing the outfield, center field. Star player, not a star. 855-212-4227 at Robin Lundberg on Twitter. That's R-O-B-I-N-L-U-N-D-B-E-R-G. Going to talk to CBS Sports NFL insider Jason LaCanfora coming up next here on The Robin Lundberg Show on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to The Robin Lundberg Show.
It is The Robin Lundberg Show. And if you just tuned in or you missed any show, you can grab the podcast, as he said. If you're wondering why I haven't addressed the president's tweet from last night, that's because it's a conscious decision. There are some very serious things going on around him right now, and I don't use those words lightly, and I'm not going to take the bait and shift the focus to the tweet about the NFL, though can cover all the other stories in the NFL, including the ramifications about the anthem policy that has been put on hold, and we'll do that right now with Jason LaCanfora, CBS Sports NFL insider. And Jason, the word that keeps coming to mind for me is stupid. And to me, this policy was just stupid because it is responsible, I think, at this point, solely for keeping this issue the owners obviously don't want in the headlines, in the headlines.
Yeah, I don't know about solely. This had already become sort of a wedge issue, in which seems to be a group of people who want to propagate a culture war in this country. And it's red meat for those in power who are going that route. So I don't think it was ever going to go away. I think this was one that the controlling party believed anytime we want a distraction, anytime we want to signal to our people that we haven't forgotten, and anytime we want to get people riled up, we can do that by a tweet or a statement at a rally or whatever. And, you know, there's no way that week one, I think, was going to pass without something happening, at least from the political world. Now, how the NFL responds is obviously up to them. And the May policy seemed quite ill-conceived and not fully thought out, and that obviously is the case, because here we are in July, and they've already had to review it and basically push the pause button on it and try to go back to the drawing board. I just don't know, though, with something that is this divisive now, how you're going to be able to really placate anybody. I think the best advice was probably given to them by Joe Lockhart, a former, you know, political spokesman and somebody who was the head of the league's communication for a few years, who now is back in sort of the political pundit world. But he was advising them on the way out, don't just let it go, let it go, let it go, turn the other cheek, you know, run your league in the way that you feel is best, but not in a way that you think is going to sort of curry favor with Trump or get him to do things the way you'd like for him to do things, because you're never going to win that battle. And I think they're finding that out.
Yeah, that's exactly what I would have done, nothing. And what you're saying is fair. My point is, I guess from the beginning, obviously there was Colin Kaepernick's protest, which happened 2 years ago, and I want to again convey I have respect for the issue that these guys were trying to bring to light, but I think they sort of understood and it had become something else entirely, because by the time of Trump's comments at week three, Eric Reed was the only player taking a knee, and then obviously in reaction, people got angry, understandably, but by the end of the season, it was seven. In week 17. So I think by them putting that policy out, it gave him another chance to throw out that red meat, if you will. And now I think they're realizing the error of their ways. So I guess the question becomes, what do you think they will do now?
I think right now they're trying to buy time, and they're trying to continue to see which way the wind is blowing, and they at least finally are having what's been described to me as a meaningful dialogue with the NFLPA and individual player reps. I don't know the solution now. I mean, you can't do nothing because you've got a policy out there that already the first team that takes its attempt to formally execute it has turned into a national, a national controversy. So, you can't do nothing. You have to change something. Even if you just go back to the old way, it's still a story. I just wonder if at some point, and I heard a lot of this as something individual teams supported, or at least high-ranking executives were a lot of individual teams. Through the course of last year, I would often hear people say, why don't we just push the anthem back? Before post 9/11, when it became pomp and circumstance, and the Defense Department was getting involved, and there was flyovers and this or that. You know, when I talked to the guys I work with, Boomer Esiason, Coach Cower, they didn't even know when the anthem was going on because they were still getting taped up. You know, they had gotten off the field, they had finished stretching, and now they're changing in their game uniforms, and they're getting taped up, and they're doing stuff in the locker room while the anthem was going on. You know, if the anthem took place 35 minutes before kickoff, now some people will say that's a cop-out, but if you don't want it politicized either way, well, there you go. Nobody even has a reason to be on the field while it's going on. So I don't know that that's the end game, and certainly that's not going to satisfy everybody. And I'm not saying that's the best solution, but I know it's something that has some support among teams who feel like where we've gone now, we need to get out of this business entirely. You know, it just needs to be something nobody's going to broadcast. The cameras, everybody's still doing their pregame show, or if it's a late game, everybody's still watching the early game, and the players are still in the locker room.
Robin Lundberg talking to Jason Lockenfora, CBS Sports NFL Insider here on CBS Sports Radio. From the player side of things, it did seem like, obviously, what the statement was a quick reaction to the backlash they received, and I think they had that coming to them, not the players, but the league, because to me it seemed like they were totally ignoring a huge portion of their fan base to try and placate one portion of their fan base, and that other portion, which I would argue is larger, got mad, and they reacted to it. But from the player's side of things, how actively involved do you think they actually are on this? Because it feels like they're always on the short end of the stick, and that's why a lot of people are worried, not just for this issue, but some of the bigger ones that have to do with on-the-field play, like guaranteed contracts, are worried about real labor strife looming between the league and the players.
Well, I mean, look, it's been a long time since we've had an actual meaningful work stoppage in the sport, thankfully. You know, I'm not going to count the lockout year where they didn't play the Hall of Fame game. You know, sorry. They got a 10-year labor deal out of that too. So, I personally don't think we're on that path, because even at this time when we're not even talking about football, right? Camps are opening. We're whatever, how many minutes into this interview, we've yet to say anything that really has anything to do with football, and all we're talking about is strife in the game and all these off-field problems and ratings, and yet the business of football is more robust than ever. And the dirty little secret is the owners know it and the players know it, and there's going to be wars and fights and battles over certain things. I don't think guaranteed contracts is going to be one of them, but maybe it's the abolishment of the franchise tag, or a team can only use a tag once every couple of years. But there's certainly ways to get at the economic issues that players feel are still not favorable enough to them. But, you know, in terms of how engaged they are on these issues with Trump and the national anthem and the politicalization of football?
Yeah.
They're heavily involved. I mean, I was talking to Eric Weddle yesterday at Ravens camp, and you know, he's someone who's involved in the PA and a union rep, and you know, they want to try to find a solution that allows guys to express their constitutional rights, but also, you know, in a way that doesn't make this the thing everybody's talking about on pregame shows every Sunday. Again, I don't personally know what that solution is. I haven't been able to suss it out. I don't know how, given where they are, they're able to sort of walk this back to any degree. And again, maybe the easiest thing too is just to move forward and do nothing. And teams aren't, you know, and just tell teams, well, the league will handle it as the league wants to handle it. And maybe it is only five guys a week. I don't know, but there is, you know, there will be a certain percentage of the league who, if the president continues to act the way he is, they in turn will react on Sundays the way they feel like they have to.
All right, Jason, since you're here and before we're out of time and you were at Ravens camp, here's an actual football question for you.
Sure.
Joe Flacco and Lamar Jackson, what's the dynamic of that going on right now? Because it seemed like I saw some answers from Flacco yesterday that could be interpreted as defensive.
Yeah, I was there for the whole media session. I thought Joe handled it really well. He's I don't know if deferential is the right word, but he's certainly showing an amazing amount of patience, and he's being careful with his words, but he's not censoring himself entirely. And he will, you know, admit that it's a different dynamic than any he's faced before in his career. He's come to grips with the fact that there's going to be times where he's off the field because Jackson's on it, or he's playing a position other than quarterback because, you know, Jackson is the de facto quarterback or whatever. The kid is going to see the field. I don't think he's going to start anytime soon, and I don't feel like Joe feels threatened in that regard. But, I mean, I live in this city. I know what's going on here. I know where the owner's thinking, and this offense has been miserable for far too long, and that has a whole lot more to do with the Ravens' attendance problems last year than the protests or anything else. And Lamar Jackson is obviously a very different type of quarterback than anything they've had here in a long, long time. So Joe's future is in his own hands and how he produces this year, but it may be an audition, you know, for 31 other teams. And somewhere in his mind, I think he knows that. But he insists he's not using it as motivation. I think to some degree he is. And, you know, Joe, I thought Joe's comments about, you know, I don't think I'm going to get sick of answering these questions because I think I'm going to play well, and I think we're going to win a lot of games, and I think it's going to be a moot point. That's truly how he feels. I mean, this is the guy who feels like when he's healthy and he's right, he can do it as well as anybody on the planet. I would say it's been a long while since he's done that, but I've known him long enough to say he's not really, he's not faking it. He's not going to, you know, he's not going to do something completely contrived or say something completely contrived. And he does feel like he's the best quarterback on this roster for now and forever. I still don't think he'll be here in 2019, but I don't think there'll be a lot of blow-ups between he and Lamar Jackson. But, you know, we'll know a whole lot more in August because they play five preseason games. And Lamar's going to see a lot of time and a lot of them. And if he plays well, this city will be clamoring for more and more.
Jason, appreciate your time this morning, man.
You got it, buddy. Have a good one.
You're listening to The Robin Lundberg Show.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. Gonna get to everything I have not in just a second. But first, let's talk to Daniel in Charleston, South Carolina. Daniel, what's going on? You're here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Robin. Great show.
Thank you, sir.
My job puts me in my car. So I listen to sports talk radio a lot. And I just constantly am hearing guys get on the radio calling into these shows saying that the NFL owners and the NFL are infringing on the American rights of these players. They have free speech, and as Americans, we have a right to protest. Well, I want to say, yes, you do as an American, but as an employee, you do not. Employers have the right to control what is said by their employers, and frankly, that's a really good thing, and I don't think some of these people realize what they're asking for, because if owners in the NFL were giving free speech to all of their players, the next thing you know, some guy could show up with a swastika armband, and you'd have to let that in, too. And you'd have to let the guy who wants to wear
But that's just such a ridiculous comparison, dude.
No, but it's not.
Because you're drawing a comparison between people protesting social injustice and people being gunned down.
I agree with protesting social injustice, okay, but the platform is wrong.
That's your opinion. And again, this is why I'm not even talking about this today. And I didn't know what in particular you were responding to. But that's why I'm not. It's the same circular argument and conversation. I'm not justifying dude's tweet from last night because it gets us back in that circle. And I'm only saying through the context of the policy the NFL put out why this was dumb, because they have allowed this conversation to go on when I don't think it would continue to go on. But, you know, everybody trying to compare it to their job or right. I've said it a million times. Yes. You have everybody has the right to protest. That's been acknowledged, right? It's their right. It is the employer's right to take action on it if they so choose. It doesn't mean they need to. It doesn't mean they have to. It doesn't mean it's the right thing to do. But again, that's part of what I think drives a lot of people crazy about this. People having the same conversation, not even about the original issue, and not even about some of the grander implications. Not about, you know, Colin Kaepernick not having a job. Just like the same argument over and over and over and over again. Time to get to everything else. All right, Anthony, what's up first?
All right. We had mentioned earlier Carmelo Anthony headed to the Hawks. He will be waived, and we all expect him to sign with the Houston Rockets. But, Robin, do you believe that Carmelo has lived up to his full potential?
That's a good question. Because here's the thing, right? Carmelo Anthony's a Hall of Famer. Is it really fair to be like, oh, he hasn't lived up? You know, he's a Hall of Famer. He's a decorated player. But at the same time, I would be on board with saying, not exactly sure, you know, he was the player most conducive to winning. He had a couple of runs there, one in Denver with Chauncey Billups, one in New York with Jason Kidd when they won 54 games that year. But the rest of his tenure with the Knicks was not very good. I don't think, you know, I think he kind of ended Lynn's sanity when that was going on. He went to Oklahoma City and scoffed at the idea of coming off the bench. But on Team USA, he really filled that role, not the bench role, but filled his role well. So his full potential, I guess that's what you determine his potential to be. I would say Carmelo Anthony, here's how I would, he's an underwhelming Hall of Famer. So I personally, I've been disappointed with him plenty of times, especially when I've thought he might make the best of a certain situation. But in the overall career, for an overall career, it's hard to say it in a vacuum that he's underperformed. But if you're just analyzing him individually and really scrutinizing him, I can see where people would say that.
New Bulls forward Jabari Parker said this week, they don't pay players to play defense. Parker says that better offense wins championships. So, Robin, how important is defense, Robin?
Very important. Look, it's they're both important. The rule of thumb in the NBA has been you kind of got to be top 10 in both. You kind of got to be top 10 in both. And the teams that are very good at both tend to be teams that win the championship. If you look back and you follow the league the last several years, that's been the case. Offense in the regular season might be a little bit more important because, you know, teams aren't, you know, you might be out partying the night before. You might have a family issue to deal with. You might not have read the scouting report. It's a long season. So you're not locked in like that, and if you're consistently putting points on the board, you're going to beat a lot of teams. When you get to the playoffs and it's the best of the best playing, that defense needs to be there too, or else you're going to lose to these teams that can also score. So I think they're of essentially equal importance, and you got to be really good at both if you want to be a championship team or a championship player.
Marcus Smart agreed to a 4-year, $52 million contract to remain with the Celtics. Was re-signing Smart a good move for the Celtics?
I think so. Marcus Smart has his limitations, but he's the kind of player every team would want to have. A really good defensive player. Does a lot of the quote-unquote little things and competitive as heck. can at times get in a groove offensively where he's helping you out, but he can be a liability at times as a shooter as well. But overall, when you're looking at the things that he brings to the table, I think some of those things are just hard to find. Not everybody's cut from the kind of cloth that Marcus Smart is cut from. So even though he has his offensive limitations as both a playmaker and a shooter, I think that the fact that he will dive on the floor, the fact that he will get in the passing lanes, the fact that he will lock down on defense, that he will demand a certain level of competitiveness, and he has good size in the backcourt, makes him a worthy addition or a member of any team.
Manny Machado was finally traded to the Dodgers for 5 prospects. Are the Dodgers now the favorites to win the NL pennant?
The Dodgers, the favorites to win the NL pennant. I have to say at this point, yes. I thought about it for a second. Yes, because I had to double check their race in their own division because I know they've been going back and forth with the Diamondbacks sort of all year. They're ahead in the division now. There's no reason to think that they should be looking back. So if they win the division, obviously they're in the playoffs. You add Machado, who's one of the best players in the entire sport, and that only elevates your team. I don't see any of the other teams in the NL making a move of that degree. So since they're not having any ground to make up and they're now in the top spot in that division, I think that the Dodgers have to be the favorites in the National League.
Some football. James Harrison said this week that the Patriots' Bill Belichick is a better coach than Mike Tomlin. Harrison says that Mike Tomlin needs to be more disciplined. So, Robin, does Mike Tomlin need to be more disciplined?
You know, isn't it funny? Wasn't this the offseason where everyone was complaining that Bill Belichick was too disciplined? While, like, some of his players go rogue and start, you know, having avocado smoothie festivals at secret gyms and stuff in New England. I mean, does Mike Tomlin's a heck of a coach. His record would say so. If you're comparing anybody to Belichick, most people are going to say Belichick's the best coach ever. It comes off a little sour from Harrison because maybe the way his Steelers tenure ended. And I don't think it's cool to go out of his way to emphasize how big a gap there is between the two or put Mike Tomlin on blast like that. Mike Tomlin has accomplished more than all but a handful of coaches. Really, not just currently, but kind of ever, right? I mean, there aren't that many coaches in the history of the game who are more accomplished than Mike Tomlin. So I get a little sick of him being bashed like he's some bad coach.
Speaking of Belichick and the Patriots, a report came out this week saying that the friction between Brady, Belichick, and Kraft has not been hashed out. So any chance, Robin, that these reports of lingering issues between Brady and Belichick will derail the Patriots?
I hope so. I think there's genuine friction there. I think that's for certain. You know, the Jimmy Garoppolo trade was all you needed to know. They had kept Garoppolo for like ever, right? They kept Garoppolo around for like ever. And then all of a sudden they make the trade when they didn't make it for other better packages, it seemed, in the past. It clearly indicated that I think Tom Brady was a little threatened by Garoppolo. That frayed the relationship with Belichick. Brady's not showing up to all the activities this summer. The report was out last playoffs. Clearly, there's an issue between Brady and Belichick. Will that manifest itself on the field? So far, the Patriots have earned the benefit of the doubt because they've been able to win in spite of almost any circumstances. So I can't just sit here and predict that they're going to fall off the earth or start losing given their history. But I think the friction between Brady and Belichick is very real. That's not a media creation. And there's a possibility that it manifests itself in their actual on-field play.
Two more to go here. First, after 11 seasons and 7 Pro Bowls and a Super Bowl victory, Darrell Revis announced his retirement on Wednesday. Is Revis a first ballot Hall of Famer?
Absolutely. Revis is on my all-time team. The corners are Revis and Deion Sanders. Revis, not only one of the best corners ever, but probably the best free agent in NFL history as well. But here's how I would view how great Revis was. Not only did the Jets go to back-to-back AFC Championship games because he was shutting down half the field, it wasn't because of Mark Sanchez, right? But fantasy football, your first-round pick is oftentimes a wide receiver, right? you would bench or consider benching your number one overall pick in fantasy football because Darrell Revis was covering him when he was in his prime. He was a bad man. So if I'm putting him on my all-time team, he and Deion Sanders as the corners, he certainly should be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
All right, Robin. And after months of rumors and reports, we learned this week that Joaquin Phoenix's Joker Origins movie has been given an official...
Joker Oranges?
Oranges.
Origins? Yeah.
Origins.
Yeah.
Has been given an official release date. So it is simply titled Joker. Will reach cinemas August 4th, 2019. Phoenix finalized the deal to play Batman's arch nemesis last month, and The Hangover's Todd Phillips will be directing. Who is your favorite comic book supervillain?
Ooh. Magneto. I would say. I always actually felt the X-Men had the, when I was reading the comics, the most interesting stories and the most interesting dynamic with their villain in Magneto. So I'm very much looking forward to them entering the broader Marvel universe. Joker, cinematically, the Heath Ledger Joker stands up with any villain. And I think Thanos now does too, just like the level of thought that I've put into the end of Infinity War and how meme-worthy the snap and all that has become since then. My son Raj actually was running around the house the other day going, "I'm Thanos, I snap and get rid of half the universe." But I was still there, so that was good. After he snaps his finger.
I always enjoyed Mark Hamill's Joker in the animated.
Cartoon?
Yeah.
Yeah. Batman has, well, I was going to say Batman has good villains, but then again, he does fight somebody that wears a question mark leotard, a fat guy with an umbrella, a lady who talks to plants, somebody who flips a coin. I think that says something about Batman. Those are the people he's struggling to defeat. I've got a riddle for you, Batman. Oh, no. What shall I do? Will the riddle stop me? Find out next week. Same Robin time, same Robin channel, CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.